Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chris Carino, the great voice of the Nets, is on the bench again. What a season you've had. I love this team. I think that, all season long, I've enjoyed watching them turn into a winner and, you know, make the playoffs. I think Kenny and his staff all deserve what they got, extensions, and I think they're headed in a wonderful direction, this club. I have to tell you, though, I thought that the whole bit with Simmons and whoever did all that, like, I don't know who did all that with the, you know, wanted posters in the streets and then the players talking about Embiid and Simmons and Dudley opening his mouth. I thought it made the Nets look silly.
Well, how are you, Scott? Nice to speak to you again.
Chris, it's great having you on. I'm being honest. I just thought they wasted too much time with that nonsense instead of playing basketball, and they got their ass beat because of it.
Yeah, I think that, first of all, the thing with, with Embiid and Simmons, they kind of brought that on. I actually think the Nets didn't respond to it as much as other teams might have. You know, the fact that Embiid was giggling about nearly taking Jared Allen's head off on a play that he very well could have been thrown out of the game. And then, Simmons giggling, it was kind of silly on their part. It didn't make them look good. And I think the Nets kind of were restrained. There was just sort of an innocuous quote from Caris LeVert about that. And, the Dudley thing, I understand. I'm not going to say, things are taken out of context, but if you listen to the about 2-minute response that Jared Dudley gave on Ben Simmons, instead of just the 20 seconds that people ran with, it wasn't all that disparaging about Ben Simmons. It was just about, hey, you can't let him get momentum going to the basket. If he doesn't have space and doesn't have momentum going to the basket, he can defend him because then shoot, he's kind of an average player in the half court. I do think it could have been worse. I don't think they really like to get wrapped up in it. I look at the reverse of it. You just praised Kenny Atkinson and this team. I've been around Nets teams for over 20 years, and it is as good a group of people as I've ever been around. And I think that comes through in their maturity for such a young age. I think if roles had been reversed and the Nets were in some of the situations that Embiid and Simmons were in, I think they would have handled themselves much differently. I think it's a good group of guys, and this is a learning experience. The whole fact that they're in the playoffs and that people wanted them to be in the playoffs and the organization was excited about getting in and they weren't looking to tank and get a high draft pick is because they wanted this young core to go through this, to go through these situations that you find yourself in the playoffs.
Right.
And I think it's all a learning experience from Kenny on down to the players.
Do you think, Chris Carino with us, voice of the Nets, do you think that the first of all, I think they poked a bear in Simmons. So whatever happened, sure, that guy came out and dropped a 31 on their face and had a good time doing it. And that's kind of what I meant from the whole thing.
The posters that were put outside Barclays Center about reward missing Ben Simmons' jump shot, that might have had a little bit.
Yeah, that whole thing just was a nightmare. Now they're doing it in hockey. They're like putting stuff up for Kadri that he's this and that. Now everybody's running around. Here's my problem with the Nets the other night. I'm listening to the game. I'm watching the game, blah, blah, blah. And the thing that got me that really irritated me, because I play a lot of ball, was that I thought they turned the ball over way too much, and I thought that they did not rebound. I literally thought they got killed on the boards, in my view, and then the turnovers. At one point, they had 9 of them in the first half, and I'm thinking, that's like an available 18 or more points available, right? And then you're going to get about 9 of those, I would think, at least those trips.
And not only that, Scott, if you're going to turn the ball over, throw it into the fifth row. The problem they were doing, there was a lot of live ball turnovers. So and when the Sixers get out in transition, especially Ben Simmons, he's going to kill you. And then when you don't rebound, same thing. And rebounding has been an issue for this team all year. They're not a big team. You know, it's glaring at the size of the Sixers at pretty much every position, even with Embiid out of the lineup. I mean, from Tobias Harris to Ben Simmons to Jimmy Butler, they're just bigger and stronger. And they know the Nets didn't rebound well enough. It didn't help also that Ed Davis, who's absolutely their best rebounder by far, he sprained his ankle in game two and then sprained the other ankle in game three and didn't play in the second half. So that was an issue. They've got to find a way to just match the physicality of the Sixers, and because I think that causes a lot of those turnovers and the second chance points of the Sixers. You know, they killed them on the offensive glass, and you know, that's you're giving them all those extra opportunities, and it really did kill them last night.
Yeah, no doubt, Chris Carino. So Davis has got to be a mess with double ankle problems. Yeah. What are they going to do tomorrow, 3 Eastern at the Barclays? It'll be rocking. How do they manipulate that problem?
You know, what they ended up having to do was go to Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at the 5. I mean, they really don't have a third string center. They've always gone maybe small ball throughout the course of the year. Dudley slides over to the 5. And they've had some success with that against the Sixers this year. Rondae even came in and gave him a spark because he's able to get to the free throw line. If they're going to put a Boban out there or a Greg Monroe, Rondae's going to be able to drive on him and get to the rim. But you're going to give up the interior defensively. Again, you mentioned rebounding a problem. That's not going to solve that. I think this team's got to put a few more ball handlers on the floor. I think you're going to see a little bit more of Caris LeVert tomorrow. I think you're going to see maybe Dinwiddie, LeVert, and Russell on the floor at the same time. They put those three on the floor late in the game yesterday, but they haven't really played a lot together because the numbers show that they don't play well together. But I do think the way you got to attack the Sixers is you got to put ball handlers on the floor and use your speed. That's what when they've had success against the Sixers this year, that's what they've done. And hopefully that'll open up the floor for some three-point shooting. Remember, this is a net team that really relies on the three-point shot. And when you're the underdog in a series and you're losing out, you know, at size at every position, you got to make some threes. And I thought the Nets had a lot of good looks from three last night that normally go down that don't. So, you know, Joe Harris can get going, Damari Carroll can get going, knock down some of those threes. That'll equalize it a little bit. The other thing I think that the kind of the elephant in the room was last night, if there was this game in the series where I thought Joel Embiid was most likely to play, it was game three. Games one and two we were thinking, is Embiid going to play? We don't know. And then, you know, they had 2 days off before game three, and you're thinking he's going to play. And then I see him limping into the arena about an hour before the game, and I'm going, I don't know if this guy's going to play tonight. And he doesn't play. And I think the Nets were geared up to go against Embiid, and then Embiid's not there. I think it throws you a little bit. And then I think when the Sixers knew probably all day that Embiid wasn't going to play, and I don't know, the floor opens up for everybody when Embiid's not in there. I think they relished a chance to play without him. Tobias Harris was better. Ben Simmons was better. I'm not saying long-term because I've seen what Embiid can do to the Nets. He can just be physically dominant. But for the short-term, I actually think it helped the Sixers last night.
I got to tell you, I think they have to force Harris and Redick into some bad shots because they got too many clean looks from outside. Both of them were just nailing threes. And, I mean, I think they hit 11 threes between them or something like that. And I know is they got to stop that.
They hadn't really done that in the series so far. Game one, those guys had a very poor shooting game. So that's, you know, reason why the Nets won game one. Another big thing with the Nets do is they like to play zone defense, especially after made shots. And when you're missing threes, number one, that leads to transition buckets the other way because they're long rebounds and you get Simmons on the run and you get him ahead of steam and Harris and Butler are all running out. And then you can't set up your zone. And I know you think it's, well, guys like Redick and Harris are going to love seeing a zone, but they don't. They kind of throws their rhythm off, especially when the Nets are switching back and forth. So they never really could get in the rhythm defensively that they wanted. And, you know, Redick is hard to stop. I mean, listen, he's going to make shots. And, you know, it's can you – you're going to have to – you know, Brett Brown had a great line before game one at his press conference, and it applies to the Nets too. Sometimes you have to decide what sword am I gonna fall on. You know, you're going to give something up. You know, what is it? You know, Redick could have a big game, but you can't let Tobias Harris just power his way to the rim and shoot threes the way he did. You know, Ben Simmons may be able to get out in the open floor, but then you maybe got to close in more on Redick and Harris and take that option away, because Simmons is going to shoot the ball, right? He's going to distribute for other guys. So I think it's like you said, they got to do a better job denying those other guys the ball and, you know, pick your poison.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be great. I hope they get back into it tomorrow and win that game. Have fun out at the Barclays tomorrow afternoon, Chris. Great stuff tonight. Thanks for coming on the bench and taking the time during the playoffs to do it.
Anytime, Scott. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, Chris Carino, the great voice of the Brooklyn Nets.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.